welcome to In the News on Holy Family Radio, where we bring you the news with a Catholic perspective. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me again this week, I'm so pleased to say, is Father Maximilian Mary Dean. I just realized when I listened to the program last time, I called you Keen, and I'm sorry.
But you said it correctly at the end.
I did. Well, that's good. I didn't listen all the way to the end. That's part of the problem. For those of you who listened, we knew there was going to be a part two to this story. The first time we met Father, he talked about his upbringing and, you know, how he was probably the last person you would pick in his high school to become a priest. And here he is, a hermit in the Harrisburg Diocese. So we wanted to go a little deeper into your story. You mentioned when you were here before how the message of Our Lady of Fatima had a major impact on your conversion. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. There's kind of three parts to the conversion. What I mentioned in the last time I was here was about how I started praying. And it was through reading the scripture, especially I was reading the gospels. In my search for God, anything God, I did read the gospel, and I was reading the gospel of St. Matthew, and I was very touched, and who wouldn't be, by the words and the deeds of our Lord, everything that he said and did, such a selfless human being. And then, you know, he was betrayed, and I mean, it's very dramatic, especially the first time you're reading the gospel as a 19-year-old, and betrayed, unjustly condemned, crucified, and then he dies. And the next lines, of St. Matthew, it's the centurion. The centurion, yeah, at that point, he just saw the most excruciating, humiliating death in the history of the world. And he says, truly this man was the Son of God. And Eleanor, all I can say is at that moment, I was given the gift of faith.
Wow.
Like, I was intellectually pursuing if God exists and all these things. But at that moment, I was given not a proof of the existence of God, but faith. Mm. And I knew that Jesus was God and man, that he died for my sins. And then it was shortly after that, through the good example of some Catholics that prayed the rosary, that I decided to try praying a rosary. And Our Lady worked a little personal miracle. I won't go into it. It's too much detail, and it was very personal to me. Mm-hmm. But it basically, what it did was it not only confirmed that God exists, that Jesus is God, but that the Catholic Church is the one true church. Because the rosary I prayed was blessed by Pope St. John Paul II.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, he ensnares everybody.
And it was during the Marian year.
Okay.
1987, 88.
Yeah.
So, shortly after that, somebody gave me a little book, and what it was the story of Fatima based on the memoirs of Sister Lucia. Mm-hmm. And I was in college, and it was like 8 o'clock at night, and I thought, you know, I'll just kind of start reading this book, you know, and I've converted, so I'm going to Mass on Sundays, and I'm learning about prayer and reading the Bible, and I'm reading through this book, and I couldn't put it down. It took me 5 or 6 hours to read it, so I was up to 1 or 2 in the morning, which for college kids is probably normal.
Yeah, that's true.
But I couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking I'll read a little bit, and then, you know, but I read the whole thing, and I was just weeping at the beauty of this message of Our Lady. And also at these little children, the response of these little children to the Blessed Mother. And there was so much catechesis that I never got, you know, in those messages, you know, the Trinity, the Eucharist, heaven and hell, all of that. And that's what really, I guess you could say, cemented my conversion, really sealed it. So from that point on, I was like daily Mass, daily rosary, you know, prayer, penance.
So you've received all the sacraments at this point? I mean, you're confirmed and you're in.
I wasn't confirmed yet.
Oh, okay.
I ended up getting confirmed when I was 20 years old.
Okay.
Because my parents stopped going to Mass when I was 10.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So there was this gap. The nice thing was I didn't have to go through RCIA.
Okay.
You know, because I had to be converted to my Catholic faith because I really didn't know, you know, what the true church was. Mm-hmm. But when I was converted, all I had to do is go to confession, do my penance.
Yeah.
And I was full-blown Catholic, and then prepared for a confirmation. So, yeah, it was just so endearing, the story. And the other thing I should mention is there was a little part of me that was kind of angry, not at God or Blessed Mother, but I was angry that how could I be 19 years old and never heard about the message of Fatima? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was reading it like she told about World War II and the heirs of you know, like communism. And I was like, how can I went, you know, I mean, how did nobody ever mention that to me ever?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that, I was sort of perturbed by that. And so I make sure that everybody that I meet knows about it.
Yeah. Because you think probably I would have converted much earlier had I read these messages.
Oh, yeah. And that's where it just, you know, and if young people are brought up knowing these things and the, you know, these stories.
Yeah. I don't know why sometimes we hesitate to tell them. And these are apparitions that have been approved.
Exactly.
You know, you can't talk about all the ones that we don't know. You can talk about it, but I mean, even though it doesn't obligate us to follow them, there is good to come out of them, and there's no harm in reading about
sure.
them.
And some of them, because they are liturgical feast days, it's not just like an option, like, oh, it's not the creed. But I mean, Our Lady of Fatima, there's a feast day. Our Lady of Lourdes,
yeah.
Our Lady of Guadalupe is mm-hmm. another huge. How you can ignore Our Lady Guadalupe in history book is beyond me.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, in 10 years, there were about 10 to 11 million baptisms after she appeared.
Right.
Which is about 3,000 a day.
Yeah.
Which means Pentecost every day for 10 years after Our Lady appeared.
Right.
And that's where you can see where there's some prejudice and revisionist attitudes in the history books that maybe we grew up reading that don't, because Our Lady Guadalupe, you know, you can't go into a Mexican restaurant even up here in the United States without seeing an image somewhere.
Absolutely.
Of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And you know, the neat thing too about Our Lady of Guadalupe is that, you know, as technology advances and advances, they find more things in that Tilma. I mean, that in the retinas of her eyes, they see, you can see Juan Diego, the bishop, his sir, you know, it's just amazing.
And you can see it the way an eye doctor would see it looking in
yes.
the eye. Like it's a threefold image.
Right.
It's really, we can't even do that with all of our digital high resolution technology. We could never.
And that the colors on her tilma actually float above it. They're not even in the fiber.
Mm.
They've seen that because of the microscopes that they use, and that it's really truly unreal.
Amazing.
But back to Our Lady Fatima, because you're talking about how those messages resounded with you and impacted your conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So that has stuck with you for a long time because, you know, May, it's Our Lady of Fatima month, right?
Yeah, Our Lady appeared on May 13th. And it's funny because, you know, 2017, 100th anniversary,
yeah.
May 13th, that's the very day that Bishop Gaynor actually incarnated me in the diocese as a hermit.
May 13th.
100th anniversary.
Boy, that, I think that was a call from Our Lady there.
It's beautiful.
Father, isn't it? Isn't
yeah.
that amazing?
It's stupendous. And, you know, one of the things, too, that is really encouraging about the message of Fatima, and since we're in this month of May dedicated to Our Lady, it's good to reflect on this, is she was so insistent to the children
mm-hmm.
and through the children to all of us to pray for poor sinners.
Yeah.
She said, how many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and sacrifice for them? And of course, they had the vision of hell.
Which is amazing in itself. If these were little kids like 7 and 6 and 8 or around those ages, you think, oh, why would she show them hell? This must be serious stuff.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and well, the thing too is you know that it's kind of negative what you said. How many souls go to hell because
yeah.
there's no one to pray and sacrifice for them? But if you flip the coin and say that same statement in the positive way,
mm-hmm.
which is what Our Lady wants, she's lamenting the fact
yeah.
that there's few. But if we pray and sacrifice, how many souls will go to heaven
mm-hmm.
if we pray and sacrifice? And certainly with the coronavirus, it's been a real wake-up call, spiritual wake-up call for everybody because they're forced to think about death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are confronted with death, even it can be the death of a loved one,
yeah.
it can be a, you know, if I'm diagnosed with, I was, you know, 5 years ago diagnosed with stage 3 cancer of the thyroid.
I didn't know that.
Which I'm, thanks be to God, I'm cancer free. But,
okay.
But you know, just the diagnosis
sure.
is like, all of a sudden you take stock of your whole life
yeah.
and realize that there is an end. And so there's a beautiful opportunity to pray for sinners. I guess that's the point I want to make is Mother Mary asked us at Fatima. She actually dictated the most beautiful little prayer that we say at the end of the rosary each decade. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard stories, you know, there's an 18-year-old boy graduating from high school in the middle of this situation, and he's on his own, unbaptized, he's contacted the Catholic priest to ask for baptism, to receive instruction during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another story I think you were sharing with me about a man in the hospital alone, unbaptized, no faith whatsoever, and just on Divine Mercy Sunday,
yeah.
he's saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. And that's the graces that Our Lady wants us to obtain through our rosaries.
Yes. St.
Maximilian Kolbe says, many rosaries prayed, many souls saved. So it's a month of May. Pray a rosary, turn to our Blessed Mother, and know that even the hardest sinners, like I was, somebody prayed for me. You know, I know that. I don't know who they are. I'll meet them in heaven. But somebody prayed and sacrificed and for me. And now it's our turn, you know, to pray and never lose hope.
And our Holy Father has asked us, especially during the month of May, to pray a daily rosary.
Mm.
And it's very efficacious to do that. It doesn't feel sometimes like you're doing much, but I think that sometimes we get past that, how it feels, and just trust mm. and believe that it does. We're going to stop for a break real quick, but you are listening to In the News on Holy Family Radio. And again, our special guest is Father Maximilian Mary Dean. I said it right. Stay tuned.
Afraid, I'm with you always. That beautiful and reassuring message is a theme for the Spring Pledge Drive for Holy Family Radio.
Wow, did you know that that phrase, do not be afraid, is mentioned roughly 365 times in the Bible?
I think Jesus meant for us to hear that one.
I think he also meant for us to hear Holy Family Radio.
The mission is so important to nourish our Catholic family and to share our faith with others.
But they will need our help, support, donations, and prayers to do that.
If you listen to Holy Family Radio and it brings you comfort and support in your life, please say thank you with a donation. Give securely online at 720whyf.com.
In these troubled times, we need this ministry now more than ever. Please support Holy Family Radio with your donation at 720whyf.com.
Back within the news on Holy Family Radio with Father Maximilian Mary Dean. Father, I wanted to bring up, when you were here before, you talked about your music ministry.
Mm.
And I was looking and checking out some of your music, and you have a song, Ave Maria.
Yes.
On your, give us your website for people to
sure.
look at your music,
yeah.
listen
so
to your music.
The website is very simple, fathermaxmusic.com. And there is a beautiful video that we had produced for a song called Ave Maria, Lady of Love. And it's written by a gentleman named Philip, who had been like addicted to drugs and just his life was in ruins. But through Our Lady, he had a major conversion and now he has a beautiful family and et cetera. And he wrote this song, you know, during that period of conversion. So he gave me permission to record it. So we did a music video of it. Again, it's at FatherMaxMusic.com, and just very, very soothing song. I loved it as soon as I heard it. Mm-hmm. It's like it kind of fits my style, and he gave me permission. So, yeah, I just encourage people during this month of May to go and check that out at FatherMaxMusic.com. And, you know, as we continue these times, I think sometimes the music too can help us to pray,
yeah,
to soothe our souls a little bit. And, you know, we really need, I think, to exercise that virtue of hope in these times, and not just in these times always, but it's just a reminder for us. And certainly Our Lady at Fatima, I'm thinking of Fatima and Guadalupe, but at Fatima, Our Lady said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And just a little story that can bring this home. I remember as a brother, before I was ordained a priest, there was a third order Franciscan meeting, and there was a lady that bumped into me in the corridor, and she was weeping, just crying, suffering. And I don't remember exactly what the difficulty was, but I remember saying to her, her name was Rosemary. I said, Rosemary, I said, Mary said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Mm. So, you know, let's keep our eyes focused on that. And she said, through her tears, she said, brother, I live for that day.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, that's so beautiful. We all need to live for that day. You know, so there's difficulties, there's the cross. And so we want to live for that day. And to pray for that day, and to make little sacrifices for that day.
You know, what does it mean for those listening, saying, what do you mean by the triumph of the Immaculate Heart? I mean, we already know Mary is the Immaculate Heart, but what does this triumph of the Immaculate Heart mean?
I mean, it means a civilization of life and love, which is something we don't know right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Here we are over 100 years after the apparitions of Fatima and her promise that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And yet we look around us.
Yeah.
And if anybody has any doubts, just read the headlines of any news, you know, how many abortions, you know, now they're trying to confuse the children about gender. And,
right.
The talk of, I remember Pope Benedict was saying that 100 years ago, if you told the people 100 years ago that our society would be accepting abortion, homosexual marriage, and, fertilizing babies in test tubes, they would look at you like you were from Mars.
Absolutely.
And yet now it's just like...
It's just taken for granted.
And then the internet pornography.
Oh, I was going to mention that.
Know,
yeah,
I mean, the statistics are showing that between the ages of 15 to 30, 80% of our young men are looking at internet pornography at least once a month, and over 50% are looking at it daily.
Yeah.
And so you say, well... where's this triumph? And so that's where we have to have the virtue of hope.
Yeah.
And also to see that, you know, this pandemic is a wake-up call, probably because of our sinfulness.
Yeah.
We're coming up on an election year, and I guarantee you, they won't even, I don't care which side, they won't touch internet pornography, which is destroying our children, our youth, our men, our marriages.
Absolutely.
It's insidious, mm-hmm. It's diabolical.
And, you know, in fact, even in these times of people being isolated at home, the porn industry is really stepping up the attack, knowing that people are on their screens more. So it's very devious, you know. And it's interesting to me, too, because I think this was part of the message of Fatima, that Our Lady said to the kids, in the end days or later times, that the devil would go after the heart of the family. Mm. And it seems to me all those things that you mentioned, abortion, gender confusion, divorce, contraception, yeah. I mean, pornography, all these things, what are they? They're an attack on the family. Mm-hmm. So we need the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, that Mary's going to bring this era of peace.
Exactly, exactly. You know, we, speaking of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, sometimes like we ask ourselves, well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And I remember I was hearing confessions because I did some music at the Apostolate for Family Consecration. It's kind of a family summer camp.
At Steubenville, right?
It's near Steubenville.
Okay.
It's called Bloomingdale, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I was there hearing confessions. I'd done like a little concert of music mm-hmm. for the families the day before. And I remember at 3 o'clock, they rang a bell and they had a swimming pool and it wasn't co-ed. So that's how they did it. Like they had the girls one day and okay. the boys on the other day. And they had, there was some men playing like softball with their sons and some, mm-hmm. some people getting lunch at the little snack. But at 3 o'clock, everything stopped.
Yeah.
Everything mm-hmm. stopped. Mm-hmm. And here's these men playing softball. They stopped and they prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet
yeah.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, as I was sitting there in my the confessional watching this, it was an outdoor confessional. I was like, this is kind of a taste mm-hmm. of what the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart
yeah.
might be.
Yeah.
Or I remember visiting a family, and after we had dinner, we prayed the rosary with their family. It was the grandparents, mm-hmm. the children, and the grandchildren. And the five-year-old, after the rosary, there was a five-year-old, and he recited the Litany of Loretto from memory for all of us. And I was like, this is a little taste,
yeah,
little taste
right.
of what the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary could be, that yeah. our five-year-olds can lead us from memory in the Litany of Loretto. I just was blown away.
And, you know, it's the overriding, let's say, theme or virtue is joy. There's joy in these situations.
Exactly.
When families work well, you know, when we live in a way that we respect one another, we don't abuse or use other people, then we have joy. Mm-hmm. We don't get it any other way, even though we're trying all the time. I should speak for myself. But, you know, we're not going to find it outside of God, mm-hmm. you know, and please God through Our Lady.
Mm-mm. You know, in these times, I think the idea of the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I think of those beautiful words of Our Lady of Guadalupe to St. Juan Diego,
mm-hmm.
where he was in distress because his uncle was dying.
Yes.
And, you know, he was trying to find a priest for his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, am I not here?
Yeah.
I who am your mother?
Yeah.
Are you not in the folding of my arms?
Wow.
And what you fear, she said, what you fear is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she wasn't denying the fear. In fact,
right.
she's coming as a mother to console. And I think that we really need the presence. And that's why the daily rosary is so important
yes.
in the month of May
mm-hmm.
and during these times, that we need to really feel that we're in the folding of her arms,
yes.
pressed close to her Immaculate Heart.
Yeah.
And I just conclude this section on the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the triumph, is what can I do? And then basically what I need to do is I need to make sure that the Immaculate Heart of Mary triumphs in my life.
Yeah.
Which means conversion, mm-hmm. and growth in holiness, a life of prayer, and intimacy.
So in this pandemic, okay, so here we all are, especially lay people, you know, we can't go to Mass, we can't go to adoration, we can't go to, it is frustrating, and it's causing all kinds of, you know, issues of worry and fear of the future and how we ever going to get back to Mass and be sitting so far apart. So tell us, because if we can get in the present moment through prayer, I think we talked about this before. Maybe you sent this in a message about, you know, when Joseph and Our Lady were looking for Jesus when he was missing for 3 days, you know, going through that, mm-hmm. we don't have our Lord with us the way we're used to, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's a good analogy of the separation that
mm-hmm.
Joseph and Mary actually experienced, separation from Jesus. And there's two things to look at there. One is these are the most innocent, pure creatures on the planet.
Yeah.
And yet God permitted them to experience this separation
right.
and even anxiety. Which there's nothing sinful in the feeling. It's what we do with it.
Right.
So what did they do? They sought out Jesus
yeah.
all the more.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, why did they suffer? Why did Mary and Joseph suffer? Well, they were suffering because of our sins. In other words, there's something redemptive to the suffering.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, number one, we are in company. We're in good company. When
mm-hmm.
we feel that separation,
mm-hmm.
we are in good company. We're in company
right.
of Joseph and the Blessed Mother, and many other saints experienced a sort of a dark night,
mm-hmm.
feeling a sense of separation from God. So we're in good company. But also it's a way to repair for our own sins.
Mm-hmm.
And also we can offer that up, as Our Lady at Fatima taught the children. You know, to say that, Jesus, this is for love of you and
yeah.
for the conversion of poor sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So even the separation from the sacraments, from just being able to go to church and even kneel down in front of the tabernacle.
Right.
Jesus, this is for love of you and for the conversion of poor sinners.
You know, especially when we hear on the news, you know, that these are the Holy Communion and Mass are non-essential services, right? Oh. And you think, what's more essential?
Yeah.
And yet they say abortion is essential services, health services. We are upside down in this world. And the answer has to be prayer.
Yeah, we need to pray and sacrifice for sinners. And the other thing too is this should increase our hunger, our longing. You know, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Yes,
saying,
I love that.
Weren't our hearts just burning within us as our Lord spoke those words, and they longed for him. And so that's, I think the other thing too is to pray to our Lord, our Lady, good Saint Joseph, to increase our longing and our search to appreciate more deeply the Mass and the sacraments and, you know, all those things.
I think that's great advice for us is to, I think we are getting the message that we are hungering for Jesus and Our Lady and just to keep praying. Mm. And I'm going to just remind our listeners to, again, visit your website, which is www.fathermaxmusic.com. And you'll find a lot of music that you'll find consoling, help you in your prayer time. And we thank Father Maximilian Mary Dean for being with us on In the News. And we invite all of our listeners to join us every Thursday at noon on AM 720 Holy Family Radio for In the News. Thank you so much, Father, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.